Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to talk to you today on the subject of the value of a dream. The value of a dream. We live in a world that has been shaped by the dreams of people. The Wright brothers dreamed of flight, and we have aviation today. Alexander Graham Bell dreamed of communication. We have the telephone, now the iPhones, the cell phones. There have been dreamers like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates who dreamed and shaped and formed the world that we live in very much by the dream that they had deep in their heart. There have been social dreamers, men like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., men like Nelson Mandela, who dreamed of justice and dreamed and formed civil rights movements that shaped and changed the world that we live in. What you have to understand is the value of a dream when He places it in your heart. Because when God wants to change a community, when God wants to change the world, when God wants to change a city, when God wants to change a family, He starts by putting a dream in the heart of somebody for change. The enemy would come to kill or assassinate the dream that is in your heart. Because when you dream a dream, listen carefully, when you dream a dream, you become more like God than ever before. Because the nature of God in you is awakened when you begin to dream a dream, that nature that can look at nothing and begin to believe in something they cannot see. That is the dream nature. That is very much how God deals in our lives. There's a dream that's working in your heart today. The Bible said that the father, Jacob, made a coat of many colors because Joseph was his favorite son and he gave it to him. That coat represented and was a symbol of the favor of the father on Joseph's life. It was a symbol of how much the father loved him. It was a coat of many colors that speaks of the fact that it was vibrant, that speaks of the fact that it was a celebration. And when God's favor is on you, when His favor comes upon your life, and it did at Calvary, if you have accepted what He did, then you get real good and blessed and wrapped up in that coat of favor, and it's hard to hide it. That coat was loud. That coat stood out. That coat was noticeable. And God wants His favor in your life to be seen by other people, just like it was seen when Joseph put it on. The favor of God wants to wrap itself around you so much so that He gives you a dream, and that dream causes you to stand out and do things that you never thought that you could do. The Bible said that he dreamed a dream of him being in a field, and the harvest began to bow down to him in the field. I love the fact that he had a dream of harvest authority. And if ever there was going to be a time when we needed to have a dream that was connected to the harvest, he saw in the dream the harvest bowing down. And the Bible said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Whatever field God has put you in, you need to connect that dream to the harvest. Because the dream that God can bless is the dream that is connected to the harvest. If you're a business person, God can help you and prosper you to make millions of dollars. If you're a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife, God has a dream. Always connect that dream of your family or your finances to the harvest, because if God can find people that he can put a dream in their heart and they not consume it on themselves, but they connect that dream to the harvest, he can bless that dream greater and mightier. He had a dream that was of harvest authority for our cities, for our nation, for our day to be changed. We're going going to have to get a dream in our hearts of more than just things, but a dream of harvest authority. I'm still dreaming in this city. I'm still dreaming that for this church. I'm dreaming that there's a harvest that has not bowed its knee yet. Maybe even under the sound of my voice today, there are people that I'm preaching to, and I'm dreaming that those souls will be saved. And that's the kind of dream that God will bless over and over and over again. Now, what I love about this story is he dreamed the dream and he told his brothers. And the Bible said it's interesting that his brothers hated him because of the dream. It's interesting that everybody is not going to be happy about our dreams. Have you learned that yet? Even though they hated him, the Bible said they hated him because of his dream. The next part of the verse said he dreamed another dream. And the second dream was bigger than the first dream. The second dream, he saw the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him. Now, the first dream, and they didn't like the first dream. And since he said, well, since you're mad, I might as well go on and tell you the whole dream and get you good and mad. I was going to hold back on the big part, but I'm not going to hold back on the big part. I'm just going to make you real mad. And he said, the whole dream was not just the harvest. I saw stuff in heaven bowing down. And they really got mad then. You see, what you have to understand is the dream that God has for your life is always progressive. It's always getting bigger. It's not diminishing. This is no time to sit back and retire and sit on a rocking chair and wait for the angels to sweep low, you chariots coming for to take me home. As long as I'm here, I'm going to be dreaming. And God's dream is progressive. God's dream for you is not less, it's bigger, it's greater. The rest of your life, you need to keep fighting for the dream. There's a dream inside of you. There's a dream inside of you. Your dream is always progressive. Verse 18 said, when they saw him afar off, they conspired against him and said, behold, the dreamer cometh. They didn't even call him by his name. They called him by his dream. That's the value of a dream that God places in your heart. It will cause your name, and it will be cause, most importantly, the name that is above every name to be lifted high when he places a dream in your heart. Verse 24 said that they said, we shall kill him and cast him in a pit and say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dream. You see, I want to warn you that when God places a dream in your heart, there comes risk and danger in obeying God and going after that dream. There will always be risk when God puts a dream in a person's heart. This text reveals two important principles. Number one, they were smart enough, the enemies of Joseph were smart enough to know that his dream was going to come to pass. Because the reason they started fighting against him was the very fact that they thought, if we don't do something, as crazy as that dream is, he actually believes it's going to happen. And you know what? We believe it's going to happen. And that's why we're going to fight him. So they were smart enough to know the dream was going to come to pass. I've come to encourage somebody. The fact that you're under pressure and there's adversity all around you concerning the dream that God has put in your heart is not an indication that you should give up. It's not an indication that you should walk away and quit and say the dream is not going to happen. But the very fact that the enemy is smart enough to know that if he doesn't do something, the dream, all he's doing is confirming to you that God has given you a dream that is going to come to pass. And here's the principle number one. He was smart enough, the enemies of Joseph were smart enough to know the dream was going to come to pass if they didn't do something. But secondly, they were stupid enough to think they could stop it. You have to understand something about a dream. When God puts a dream in your heart, nobody can stop it. I said, when God puts a dream in your heart, nobody can stop it. Nobody. When God says yes, yes it is. Nobody's no competes with God's yes. It's the truth. And you know you have a real dream from God when you can be in the midst of adversity and know deep on the inside something keeps saying it's still going to come to pass. The Bible said that they took Joseph and they stripped him of the symbol of the favor that was on his life. Outwardly, they stripped him and they threw him into a pit. And the pit was an empty well. It was where water used to be, but now it was dry. You know that you're going through the test of a dream, because every dream will go through that test where momentarily it looks like outwardly you're stripped of everything. It looks like that it's not going to happen. It looks like you are losing all the material things, and it looks like the favor of God that has been so evident that everybody saw the blessings. There may come a season before you get to the dream that you go through a time when outwardly you're stripped of things, and then inwardly it feels like you're in a dry place where there used to be water. So there's no external favor seemingly, and there's no internal refreshing, and you're in a dry, barren, alone place. But God is teaching you in that hour that the dream is stronger than you are, that even if outwardly you're being stripped and inwardly you're drying up, the dream still keeps jumping and leaping and dancing inside, saying it's still going to happen. And I'm telling you, that's the value of a dream. A dream will keep you going even when you're losing stuff. A dream will keep you going even when it feels like you're drying up. It won't let you quit. The Bible said they threw him in a pit, and they were going to kill him, but the Ishmaelites came by. Got to preach right here. The Ishmaelites. Who were the Ishmaelites? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was Joseph's father. So the great-great-grandfather was Abraham, and Abraham had two sons. He had the child of promise with Sarah, whose name was Isaac. But then there was that little oops. There was that mistake. There was that little sin and adultery that Abraham fell into with Hagar, and he produced a child named Ishmael, from which comes the tribe of Ishmaelites. Two generations before, great-grandpa made a mistake. But when you keep before God and you repent and you're a covenant person and you say, God, I'm sorry, if you will truly repent and turn away from your wicked ways, God will take even your mistakes. He took the illegitimate child of two generations before, and the only thing to keep the great-grandson alive was the mistake of great grandpa, and the mistake of grandpa became the miracle of grandson. Only God can take a mess like that and turn it into a blessing. Only God can take a curse and say, I'm going to turn it around and it's going to raise you up instead of put you down. I don't know what you've messed up and done, but the Lord sent me to tell you the devil meant it for your evil, but God's going to turn it around for your good, because the dream is still working if you're trusting God. I need somebody to take a praise break and give him some glory on a Sunday. If you believe he's alive. Whoa. And I just want to preach that the Ishmaelites were not children of the promise. Not everybody who's going to bless you is going to be saved in Holy Ghost filled. God's going to use some heathens. God's going to use some blankety-blank, cigar-smoking, all kind of crazy people. And if he can't get the church to believe in you, he'll find somebody in the world to believe in you. And he'll use the wealth of the wicked to raise up the righteous. I need somebody to believe that the dream is working. There's value in holding on to the dream when nothing looks right, when nothing's happening like you thought it would, when you thought it would. Hold on to the dream. God will bring it to pass in the midst of affliction, in the midst of sorrow. He's going to perform what he promised. They take him to Egypt. He gets in Potiphar's house. And he is put over the whole house. And there Potiphar's wife starts noticing how extremely good looking Joseph was. You see, the dream will demand integrity. When God begins to raise you up, and when God begins to do what he's promised in your life, and the reason God can't give a lot of people more is because they can't be trusted. The dream will demand integrity. The dream will produce discipline in your life. And this woman kept coming after him, Potiphar's wife, his boss's wife. And she said daily, lie with me, sleep with me, sleep with me, sleep with me. But Joseph refused. What a man of integrity. What a man of character. And the higher God raises you up, and if he gives you millions of dollars, if he blesses you beyond anything, if you get that scholarship, if things begin to happen for you, can God trust you to be a person of integrity in the area of sexuality? Because he blesses where his reputation is safe. And how many people have we seen begin to fulfill? And one of the tests of the dream being fulfilled before it happens will be in the area of your integrity. And the Bible said that Joseph refused, and she falsely accused him, and he was thrown into prison. But in prison, even in prison, the dream was working. Even in prison, when it looked like there was no favor on his life, the Bible says three times, but God was with him, but God was with him, but God was with him. And the jailer put him over all the prisoners, gave him the keys, and said, you run this place. See, that's favor. You don't have to have big stuff to have the favor of God. You just work what you've got where you are, and you won't stay down. You can't stay down when the favor of God is on your life. Somebody shout, I feel favor wrapping around me like a coat of many colors. Come on, somebody shout and say, I'm not going to be hidden. I'm going to stand out. There's favor on my life, and I'm going to be noticed by the right people at the right time, in the right place for the right blessing. Everybody shout, I'm getting excited. I'm about to blow a gasket. I'm concerned. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I've just come along to stir you up, to tell you this is no time to quit. This is no time to give up. God is about to resurrect your dream if you'll hold on to the promise. He gets thrown in prison, and there's two guys in prison who just had a dream, and they don't know what the dream was about. A butler and a baker. And they're confused, and they're scratching their head, and they're saying, we need somebody to tell. If you want to find out what your dream is, get around another dreamer. So they hooked up with Joseph, and they said, Joseph, we hear you're a dreamer. And once you get around a dreamer, you will begin to understand the dream on your life. And the Bible said that he said, well, sir, I'll tell you what you dreamed. He said, you dreamed in 3 days you would stand before. He told them both, you'd both stand before Pharaoh. They said, that is exactly right. What does it mean? And he turned to the baker and he said, well, it means in 3 days that he's going to cut your head off. And then he immediately turns his attention to the other guy, because there's no need to waste any more time on him. And he turns immediately and he says to the butler, now you're going to be before the Pharaoh, and he's going to restore you, and you're going to become one of his right hand men. And when you are restored, don't forget me. This is Joseph saying, don't forget me. The Bible said within days he was called before Pharaoh. Pharaoh cut the butler's head off and turned to the baker, cut the baker's head off, turned to the butler and said, you're restored. And the Bible is the most astonishing scripture. The Bible said, and the butler forgot Joseph. How you like that? See, you're going to get to the place when it comes to the dream that you quit waiting on people and quit depending on people and quit being so people needy. That you're going to find out God's probably not going to need the people that you think he needs to fulfill what he's told you he's going to do. He'll do it all by himself if he has to. And so when the butler forgot Joseph, your Bible said that Pharaoh had a disturbing dream. You know, some of you sinners listening to me right now, you think you're so big and bad. God can give you a disturbing dream tonight. He can make you wake up at 3 a.m. Not 2:45. I want it to be 3 a.m. Because bad things in the horror movies always happen at 3 a.m. God can awaken you at 3 a.m. and you can have a disturbing dream. And if he can't get to you while I'm talking to you while you're awake, my God doesn't play fair. He'll mess with you while you sleep. Lord, just take all the heathen sleep in Jesus' name. Mess them up. And he gave him a disturbing dream, and he saw seven skinny cows and seven fat cows, and the seven skinny cows swallowed the seven fat cows, and he woke up and he couldn't sleep, and he called in all of his soothsayers and his fortune tellers, and they came with their crystal balls and their tarot cards, and they tried to figure it out, and when they couldn't tell him what the dream meant, he started executing them, because he just killed them all. And he killed them all, and then he turned to the butler and he said, "Tell me what my dream means." And the amazing scripture, and the butler remembered Joseph. And he said, "There is a man in the prison in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and he interprets dreams. And I'm going to get him. I'll be right back." And he goes and brings Joseph up. And I like Joseph because here's the point. Joseph, what was the dream that Pharaoh had? It was seven fat cows, meaning 7 years of plenty, and seven skinny cows, 7 years of extreme poverty and famine. And the poverty and famine is going to swallow up the prosperity and the plenty. But it didn't make Joseph afraid because he had a dream where he had authority over the harvest. See, when you hear about Iran and when you see the things, Planned Parenthood, the wickedness of selling body parts, when you see a government that is so corrupt and evil, when you see senators voting to pay $500 million to an organization that harvests body parts of babies, and you scratch your head and say, how can we have such wicked leadership? It almost could make you afraid, but we need to understand that we have a harvest authority in the end times, that we're not afraid of the end times. We're not afraid of the nuclear deal that our crazy politicians are trying to do, because we know that in the end every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So we need to rise up in this hour and understand that we have the word of the Lord for such a time as this. And he was not intimidated. He was not afraid. And he said, "Don't tell me what you dreamed. I'll tell you what you dreamed, and I'll tell you what it means." And he said, "There's a famine coming." And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, "I perceive this is a wise man." And he said, "You take over the whole kingdom. What do you think we ought to do?" And the Bible said that Joseph stored up so much. I want you to hear what the scripture said. It said he began to store up so much that Genesis 41 and verse 46, and Joseph was 30. When he stood before Pharaoh, 30 years old. Don't wait until you're 30 or 40 to get your dream early. He had the dream when he was a teenager, and now he's 30, and he's the second most powerful man in the world. He was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh and gathered up food. Verse 51 said that he stored so much corn that it was as the sands of the seashore. And it says he bore two sons in that land and named them Manasseh and Ephraim. Closing, but listen. Before you give birth to your dream, you've got to give birth to two sons. Manasseh, which means the Lord has made me to forget the pain of my father's house. And Ephraim, which means that I am blessed or fruitful in the land of affliction. Before you get to the dream, you've got to forgive and forget what people did to you. You got to release forgiveness to your own brothers and your own family, because the wounds will come from those of a man's own house. And then secondly, you've got to become fruitful in the land of affliction. Well, when I get a new job, I wish I could get a new job. But God says, I want you to be fruitful in the land of affliction. I want you to be fruitful wherever you're planted. I want you to be where you are right now and be faithful and become so fruitful that it'll become evident you don't belong there anymore, and God will open up the next door. Be fruitful in your land of affliction. Watch this, I'm done. Everybody who's been through something and God brought you through and the dream is still kicking, just take a praise break. We're going to be done in a minute. But I want you to thank Him that the dream is still kicking. Your harvest is on the way. Don't quit. Don't give up. Favor is all over you. It doesn't have to be seen on the outside yet. All of that stuff will be restored. You stand in who God's called you. I know what I saw. That's what a dream does for you. That's the value of a dream. Even when stuff is being stripped, I know what I saw. I know what God told me. I saw a harvest. And you talking crazy in the middle of attack. I saw a harvest. That's the value of a dream.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life. And we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.